Radio.
For CJLO News, I'm Zach Jutra. Refugee and migrant support groups are calling on the federal government to withdraw their proposed border security and immigration law. The law will make changes for those seeking asylum in Canada. Bill C-12 has passed its reading in the House of Commons and now has been given to Senate to be revised. Louis-Philippe Janal, the Protection Component Coordinator at the Consultative Committee of Organizations Serving Refugees and Immigrants, or the TCRI, hopes senators will take recommendations from groups like the TCRI.
We've been contacting senators to talk with them about our concerns with the bill. So we're hopeful that there's going to be a thorough study at the Senate level and hopefully some amendments that will lessen the impact of Bill C-12.
Cécile Collotte, the detention coordinator at Action Refugee Montreal, says the law will create restrictions on freedoms for refugees and migrants while also creating a fear for those already here.
It will definitely restrain, like I was saying, their freedom of speech, and not just speech, but like opinion and being involved in all sorts of social or political events. It will definitely create a fear. It's also related to, for example, people that are already in the country. It will create like a fear regarding the loss of their status if they do have one, the possibility of being expelled, the fear of detention as well, and the surveillance that will definitely be higher.
Peggy Nkunda-Nodana was refused asylum in 2022 after waiting over 3 years for her answer. She and her family were given precarious status, meaning they could work and go to school, but were not permanent residents. She has since applied for a permanent residency under humanitarian grounds. Waiting for her results, she says she could be deported at any time with no real protections. At an event to discuss the impact of the law, she said after 7 years in Canada, she fears losing everything.
S'il vous plaît, ça fait 7 ans qu'on est là.
Please, we have been here for 7 years. We're integrated. Please revise the law. Once again, think about human beings, because we don't want to go backwards, we want to go forward. Canada is known to be a very humane country towards others. The bill introduces new support for law enforcement officers. The government says the changes will keep Canadians safe. The National Police Federation, that represents 20,000 RCMP members, says the updates, quote, reflect long-standing calls from law enforcement agencies and the NPF to modernize Canada's policing and intelligence. Collette believes the changes are not about protecting Canada, but rather giving more power to law enforcement and government agencies. She says the effects of new powers will fall on all Canadians.
It has nothing to do with security, because what they're saying is that this bill is about Canada's security, right? However, migrants do not pose any threat on security, in security, so it shouldn't be included in that. What they're trying to say is that migrants equals danger. When it comes to diminishing the rights of migrants, it's also diminishing the rights of every other person, every other Canadian, because, of course, the restrictions apply to everyone, and the sharing of information between agencies also applies to Canadians.
The federal government initially proposed Bill C-2 in June, a law also labeled to improve Canada's border and immigration policies. That law faced controversy over Canadians' privacy. Bill C-12 was introduced in its place with changes to privacy concerns, but everything on immigration and refugees remained the same. For more, go to cjlo.com/news or follow CJLO on Spotify.
Me and Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going on.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. My name is Maximilian Kalinescu.
And I'm Libasikola Jello, and I almost started off without you. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I'll be forgetting.
Right here, bro.
I'll be forgetting. I'm sorry.
And we are your hosts of
Death of the Mid-Range.
Welcome to this sleepy Monday.
Sleepy Monday?
Well, it's like, actually, it was busy outside.
Golly.
It was busy outside.
I feel like the main theme we always get into, bro, is
the bus.
Literally our bus journey. I was talking to a random friend who like barely tunes into the show, And she was like, oh my God, I love that story about you guys, like the bus driver not accepting the 25 cents. Oh my God. And I was like, we do talk about the bus a lot, bro. Because I was like, which episode was that? That could have been literally any episode.
Any episode. You made me laugh today. You said, bro, this guy calling the ISOs, bro. The way he was not letting no one on the bus.
Like, he little kids at the door. Yeah. And bus driver was like, nah, man.
Nah. We like, full, bro.
Hey, you ain't getting to school on time, brother. I'm going to tell you that right now. You're not getting to school on time.
Back in my day, we used our legs to get to school.
Back in my day, the bus didn't even exist. But hey, we got a special episode for y'all today.
Yeah, we're doing NBA hot takes.
Yeah, man, how original of us, right? we're so happy to be back. Like,
No, it's always nice to be in the studio, and it's always nice to be on time.
I wasn't gonna say it. You know what? I wasn't gonna make a joke, but now that you bring it up. No. It is nice to be, you know.
On time. Nah, but I think we've stuck to a pretty similar format since we've started. Except maybe a couple episodes. We talk about a bunch of teams. We talk about things that are important to us in the NBA. But let's muddle with the schedule. Unfortunately, this will be my second last episode for quite a while. I go on exchange to Ireland. And which is very exciting for me, but the only caveat is that I don't get to be on the radio show for 5 months. Libas has to hold down the fort, which he will do spectacularly.
I've been, you know, slowly dealing, in denial about the fact that Max is leaving us. But
not forever. Yeah. I'll be back for next NBA season too. But there's
all right, bro. All right, Tyrese Halliburton, bro. How about you get on the court, bro? How about you do that, man?
Nah, but. We have this episode, we have next episode, and today we're talking about NBA hot takes, but before we get into that, I want to talk about Players of the Week.
You already know what it is.
You already know what it is if you're an avid listener.
Who you got today, Max? Who you got?
I want to quickly put this out. I have three honorable mentions and one actual. I could talk about Jalen Johnson, right, who's been on a tear.
Mm-hmm.
I can talk about Jamal Murray, who's averaging 30 points this week on 60% shooting.
Canada's finest.
Can you believe that? I had one more. I can't remember if I'm being honest, bro. I could talk about like Jokic or something, but,
somebody. But like, he's got to be in there.
But my player of the week, give me Pat Spencer, bro.
My player of the week too,
is
man.
Is it really? That's so funny.
I wrote. Pat, I'm that mother lover, Spencer.
Ooh.
Come on now.
Ooh, bars. Nah, I was crying laughing watching Pat Spencer back down Chet Holmgren
and
shoot a fadeaway in real time. It was like 1 a.m. in my kitchen, and I was crying laughing because I was like, there's no way I just watched this, bro. All this to say, his stats have been very impressive. He's shooting something like 60% this week, 66% on threes, granted only 9 attempted, but still making 6 is really impressive. He's only averaging like 22 minutes a game, but he's been the difference maker for keeping these Warriors afloat without Steph and Jimmy's.
Jimmy just came back last night.
Yeah.
But he's on a two-way contract, by the way. So he's not even
crazy.
He can't even play that many games after that, you know, but I think the crazy part about it, he's averaging 17 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds in the span, like this week. And this week in total, 17 assists, only 3 turnovers.
Damn.
That's impressive, man. Hey, if you don't know who Pat Spencer is,
get your money up, bro.
No profiling.
Not your funny up.
No profiling. But his face does not make me, like, you know, think, like, Hooper. Obviously not. I'm not from his face. The big old mustache, I'm not like, he a hooper.
I don't know about you, but for me, he looks like a professional, okay?
Pat Spencer is a hooper. And by the way, it's really funny because his twin, Cam Spencer, has been hooping for the Grizzlies in the same week. It's really freaky.
The white man is upon us.
Well, you know, that's how I would say it, for sure. I also had another player of the week, also kind of in the same kind of mold. Ryan Nembhard, out in Dallas.
That's a really good pick.
He's started all throughout this week. He's averaging 16 points, 8.5 assists, 1 turnover a game.
God.
This week, 34 assists, 4 turnovers.
That's crazy. I think he and his brother had the same statistic. I can't remember what it was, but it had something to do with being one of the only rookies to have like a 20 points per game, some high steal or
with the true shooting.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I seen
and,
it.
And low turnover. That. Like, it's crazy. What made me laugh so hard is I tuned into a Dallas game and I went, damn, is that Andrew Nembhard? I was like, nah, I'm tripping. And then I was like, wait, it does say Nembhard on the back. They look the same. They play the same too, which is really funny because I was like, I didn't say that looked like Andrew Nembhard. I said that move looked like Andrew Nembhard. And then I started looking. I'm like, damn, bro. Like,
I think there's something in the, I don't know, maybe in the milk they consume as kids, but.
Hey, we did too. They're Canadian, bro.
It's crazy. It's something in the way they handle the ball, in the way they run an offense. There's something. They're like the steadiest point guards. Like, they're just so steady in that. In a world where everybody wants to be a LeBron, everybody wants to be KD, everybody wants to be Curry. Learn how to be Nembhard.
And learn how to be Pat Spencer, bro. He's a dog. He's got that dog in him, bro.
And even with the Pat Spencer thing, I don't know if you remember, but earlier in the season, his brother, Cam Spencer, was like, I don't know why all these franchises are obsessed with 6'7", 6'8", guys, you know, like lengthy guys who maybe are, you know, newer to the game or have less IQ in the game, where even undersized kind of players, more unathletic players, can still be just as respectful just using their brain and whatnot.
Yeah, and that's like court vision versus raw offensive talent. Like, yeah, obviously people are thinking, oh, well, I can shape this and I can make this into somebody rather than somebody that's already there. We were talking about this. It was, why don't people take more college seniors in the draft, right? I know Marquise Noel didn't have his NBA career didn't pan out, but
you were high on him.
I was too. Well, like, it's really hard to be like 5'9". Just in general, speaking from experience, just kidding, I'm like 7 feet tall, guys. but, you know, like the physicality of the NBA but his brain, like you just see it working on the court. And then all these ideas that are struggling to come to fruition because of height and then lack of playing time and then you're out of the league.
Yeah.
Right? But drafting more seniors is a smart move. I mean, wasn't Cam Johnson was a older NBA player too, right?
I got no idea. but no, to your point, it has been kind of changing lately. I feel like more older college players are coming through, you know, because with the transfer portal and everything, you can play for much longer time and have a lot more experience. And I feel like a lot of these dudes are getting drafted, juniors and seniors. But it did get to a point where it almost like you were drafting these 17, 18-year-old dudes. And if you were older than 20, bro, cooked. Older than 21, cooked. You're going to be in the second round.
It's also now, I think, what we're experiencing is that there's I'm saying we like I'm a general manager. But you have younger guys coming in, and because they have so much talent, they know that they're going to coast and that they've seen so many people start to go and lead teams. And at a young age, they're like, I'm just going to lead this team. Like, it's just what it is. And then there's an attitude problem. When you're a senior or like even like a third year, even a second year college player getting drafted, you have that mentality where you know that you have to fit a role in the system.
For sure. Right. You already know.
You're not doing a one and done in college, right? You're not doing this where you're like, oh, I already know I'm going, so this is just like a technicality, right?
For sure.
Like, you need to, Jeff Teague said it best, bro, because Derek Fisher said it, you need to play a role in the NBA.
Yeah.
And seniors know that, right? Like, same. You can't just come into a team and be like, nah, I'm going to lead it, bro. And we're watching that start to backpedal. Like, we're starting to see the thing where people are tired of LaMelo Ball, right?
And I'll still defend him till I die.
I will too, because his game is so good. But it's not that I dislike his attitude, but it's people that are starting to replicate that. Yeah. Like, I'm just him, bro. Like, don't worry about it. Which is good in some sections, but when you're a young player coming to a team, you can't just be like, yeah, nah, this is mine, bro. Like, whatever.
But for me, the best example that I've seen firsthand is Corey Kispert, who was a senior out of Gonzaga, and then he literally gets drafted and is asked to do the same thing in the NBA. So, of course, he's going to be able to, you know, do it to a T. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and he's not going to complain because he already knows that he's so good at this, right?
That's what you do, bread and butter.
Bread and butter.
So you be shooting. Hey, but listen, not to cut you off, you feel me? But
quick little ad break.
Quick little ad break, and then we will be back with hot takes. Mine, Max's, some of the people on Instagram too participated.
Yeah, my family got some.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, yeah.
We got some family?
I got two from my godparents.
Hey, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Haven at Crossover Comics. Unleash your inner geek with the best selection of graphic novels, manga, games like Pokemon and Magic, in-store events, merch, and more. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff have got your back with awesome recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Blue. Crossover Comics, sharing your passions since 2012.
Push that button.
How about this one?
Say something quick. The security guard coming.
What?
Say something quick.
Say what?
The Caribbean Callaloo, the 2 times award-winning show on CJLO. 1690 on your AM dial every Saturday from 2 p.m. till 4 p.m. 514-848-7471.
Who's that girl, boy?
You can't talk, but you can see her.
We back.
Welcome back to Death of the Midrange on CJLO 1690. Wait, before we start, I want all you guys to at home. How are you? Answer within this 5 seconds that I'm going to give you. How's your morning been? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's fantastic. If you said too much between those 5 seconds, that's not my problem.
We might have cut you off. I'm sorry.
My fault, gang.
I'm sorry.
But it's good to hear that, or it was, I'm sorry that happened. You know, because some people, maybe they're not so, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, congratulations. I'm sorry. I ain't reading all that. I ain't going to lie to you. I ain't going to know. But yeah, man, hot takes, I know it's become kind of like a go-to thing in the NBA. Everybody got a hot take, right?
Yeah.
But what are the good ones? What are the bad ones? We about to find out.
Yeah.
We about to find out today.
One I got was LeBron is mid. I'm like...
All right, man. And you're blocked. You're blocked because nobody talks about my little pookie like that. You know what I'm saying? I got somebody.
My sunshine,
I got
bro.
Somebody saying that Steph Curry is the GOAT.
Is he 12?
Well, no, he's actually one of your friends, son.
Oh, son. Nah, that makes sense, bro.
He don't count.
Friends as if he isn't a mutual friend, bro.
Nah, bro. After he said that, bro, that's all you, man.
All he wants to do, he comes over to my crib. He wants to play 2K. He wants to play Steph Curry. Yep. And then he wants fatigue off.
Come on now. Hey, he got conditions. That's Come a man on, that bro. Knows what he wants. All right, who wants to start? You want to start? I start. You start.
I'll start with...
Bet.
Okay. Hear me out.
Yes, sir.
That's the best way to start a hot take. Hear me
out. Uh-huh.
Is Nikola Jokic the best basketball player of all time? Like...
What sense do you mean that?
Is Nikola Jokic the best basketball player of all time? And if you want to take that as like a actual, like genuine opinion, how close is Nikola Jokic, if not already, like a top 15 basketball player of all time? Genuinely serious. We're looking at, I know he hasn't had the rings, but he's gone far. He's got
MVPs.
MVPs. He might get another one this year. Like every year he's gotten so much better. Okay. Center. Best passer in the league, shoots 40% from three, is the only flaw in his game is his defense.
Yeah.
He might be the best offensive player of all time. We're talking seasons. Like, whenever you put his numbers and his statistics and who Nikola Jokic is in any algorithm that's determining who had the best seasons of all time, he is an anomaly.
Yeah.
Because he... breaks. He's like when in 2017 when they implemented Steph Curry shooting into 2K and it broke the entire system.
I remember.
Because the system didn't understand how he was such a good shooter. This is what we're talking about with Nikola Jokic. The four best offensive box plus minus seasons of all time are Nikola Jokic, only behind three Michael Jordan seasons and one LeBron season. Like, what are we talking about here? So, my question to you. Is Nikola Jokic the not greatest?
Okay, not greatest. Because not greatest, greatest for me, 100%.
It's completely different. Is he the best NBA player of all time? And if not, how close is he to being right now a top 12 player of all time. And this, tell me it can be reactionary, but I think it's a fair point.
I think it's a fair point, and it's been a point that's been like made, I feel like, this season and even last season. It's tough, bro, because analytics-wise, advanced analytics-wise, statistical, he has it all. He's probably, like, you know, box score-wise, probably one of the best players ever. But it's just it's tough, man. It's really tough to say. It's really tough to say. You remember we were talking about the video that you talked about, him breaking the NBA, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, it's true, right? It's true. But I don't know. There's something about Jokic that doesn't scream to me best NBA player. You know what I'm saying?
No, because he doesn't look like it, but it's year after
year. He also doesn't
year.
Put in, like, his off-court stuff, right? He has this demeanor where this is my job. You know, this is just the thing I do. It's like, it's not, I'm not trying to, like, not like, hoops is not his life. Right? He's made that very clear. Right? Would our opinion change if he was like, yeah, this is my, it's everything I love, everything, you know, those are my idols. Like, no, that's not how Jokic is off the court. You feel me?
No, and that's why almost, like, he comes in, he puts in his work, and he leaves. And he's so good at his job. He makes me laugh so hard watching those, like, finals videos where he's like, well, everyone doesn't like their job, right? I'm like, bro, yeah, you're an NBA player, bro. Like, what?
But when is parade? Thursday?
No. I got to go home.
My horses.
No, because, listen, you start looking at, like, top 15 players of all time, and I think you can slowly start to pick, go, he might be better. Like, he might be better. And it is insane to say. But
wait, no, because just on that topic, because my friend Mati, right,
yeah,
send me his top 19 players, yep, right? So I'm going to go to the top 15,
yeah,
and you tell me if he's better than any of the top 15.
I feel like I'm on First Take right now. Call
number
me.
One, MJ.
Well, obviously not.
Number two, LeBron.
No.
Kareem.
No.
Magic.
It's oh, I'm
is
not
it dead air. No,
I'm not. I'm not like, but that's
no, Magic's a pattern. Man, no way, bro. Magic, come on.
Yes, but like it depends on what you want. But the thing is that the thing is that Magic Johnson is one of the best passers of all time, and his size makes that very possible. But the thing is like, are we giving Magic? Because it's hard to, we can't pick generations, right? Like
that was one of my other hot takes in kind of that. In that mode is that ranking between eras is really tough.
No, it's near impossible.
Because, especially the further you get apart, you know.
Because like then Wilt Chamberlain is impossible to put anywhere.
Same.
Because it's but okay. We'll give Magic.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, because Shaq is impossible.
Tim Duncan.
Tim Duncan is probably better.
Kobe.
Woohoo.
Come on now.
That's hard.
For me, no. For me, Kobe's greater.
The thing
Kobe's
is,
better.
The thing is that that's really difficult to say. This is the thing that stumped me this morning as I was brushing my teeth. And that's what I was thinking of. It was Kobe Bryant and Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
Who would you rather have on a team? Obviously, Kobe is going to score you like 30 million points, right? And he's going to be a lockdown defender, and he's going to make the right play when you need him to make the right play.
I think he swings more than Jokic. I think in a tight, contested game seven, I'm taking Kobe. I think I am, honestly.
And you're not wrong for saying that. But the fact that there's a pause or a comma, mm-hmm, like, is shocking.
He's in that tier. He's going to be in that tier.
Keep it going.
Larry Bird. Larry Bird's better.
Larry Legend's incredible.
Monty gave me a little lesson on Larry Bird because I was kind of disrespecting him. He was like 3-time MVP or something like that. I was like, oh, my bad. Stephen Curry. Unanimous MVP.
You have to go with Curry.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
The Dream's defense is what makes him better. Because his defense is just genuinely game stopping.
And then Mati has KD at 11 and a Jokic at 12.
Oh, he had Jokic at 12.
I didn't see that actually.
Jokic at 12.
Yeah.
And that makes sense. Because I think as time goes on, right? We're gonna start He's going to start going up and up and up because we're talking about the best, maybe the best offensive talent in NBA history.
Honestly, if it was 10 years from now, we'd probably be like, I'd feel way more comfortable being like, yeah, Jokic is like top 10.
Yeah, I don't want to sound like an idiot here being like, well, Kobe Bryant and Nikola Jokic. Like, obviously, Kobe Bryant is a 5-time champion, right?
Like, RIP Mamba, RIP.
Like, 2-time NBA Finals MVP, like, all-defensive team. He's the Black Mamba. Like, he is Kobe being Bryant. Mm. Like, I'm not going to question that for two seconds. But then you start looking, and you start thinking, and you go, this guy is, like, when I'm saying offensive talent, that means passing. Mm-hmm. That means his own game and how he affects the court. Whenever you're looking at analytics and you're looking at the Golden State Warriors, Stephen Curry's three-point shooting has gravity, three-point gravity. And that's why Draymond can be really good, because he can make those split decisions when the offense is too focused on Steph Curry. That's why Klay Thompson was – that's why that team was impossible to guard. Yeah. Because when you have two of the best shooters of all time, right?
It gets scary.
You can't do anything, right? Mm. And so, but you start looking at the ladder, and you start looking up, and you start looking, well, Jokic has gravity. You can't double him, and you can't play one-on-one defense with him.
Player to double, yeah, obviously.
What do you do against him? And when Nikola Jokic is not on the floor, Denver's teams are historically the worst teams in the NBA. So, my question there being, is this the best basketball player of all time?
And for me, I will stand with no.
Obviously.
I'll stand with no.
Like, and it's almost rhetorical, but I think it was Stan Van Gundy that said that. And I was watching him. He said, this is why he's the best basketball player of all time.
He's been on a tear, too.
And like, Nikola Jokic is having his best season by far this season right now, and we say that every year.
I'm saying.
Every single year. And I will end this point, because I want to get to more hot takes, by his own statement. Never count out the fat boy, bro. He said that, and he's so right. And it's just,
I felt that, bro.
And it's just all this to say, really, that like Nikola Jokic is better than anybody can ever imagine or ever even think.
For sure.
Yeah, that's my NBA hot take.
That was a good one. That was a good one to start us off. All right, let me see which one I want to choose. All right, I got one in my DMs from Malcolm. I don't even remember Malcolm. We used to hoop with him at the Loyola Gym. The dude was super quick. Got like John Wall speed.
Yes.
Yeah, you remember that
yes,
dude.
Yes, bro.
Really cool guy. And so his take was, SGA's peak is/will be better than or equal to prime Steph's peak. Me personally, I texted back in a second. I was like, bro, you are wildin', bro. Because I had another take about recency bias being, you know, really predominant in sports talk or whatever. Yeah. But Steph's peak is like unanimous MVP. No, changing the whole game. You know what I'm saying?
And SGA
could shoot 80% from the field, and I would still not change that point. You feel me?
And I think it's important that even now at 37 years old,
yeah, still got it.
He can still get those shots up. Like, he can still do that, right? Like, is it going to be as consistent? No, but, like, it doesn't matter. He probably would be the first person to tell you that, like, yeah, he feels in great shape, but he's 37, right? Like, it's not all the same.
Yeah.
But, ooh, I mean, I think it's funny when we're talking about legend talk and we're talking about, like, recency bias versus legend peak, because it's hard for people to grapple with the idea that someone like Nikola Jokic might be a top 12 player of all time.
Yeah.
It's hard for people to grapple with that, like, this run that SGA had last season is one of the best runs in NBA history.
For sure. No, for sure.
Right.
And,
like,
and even in two-way stardom, he's up there.
Like, he's that season was on par with any top Kobe season of all time.
And you even take this season, SGA doesn't miss. He has, oh my God, I saw a top 10 of true shooting.
Yeah,
and he's like in the top three, and it's like, bro, like, he's the number one option, and he takes mid ranges and tough mid ranges, and
yeah,
it's impressive how good defensively he is, and how efficient he is as a scorer, and he's putting up 30 points like it's nothing.
They should call him like either the mortician or the undertaker, because everyone's like, you know, third quarter's coming to an end or the fourth quarter's starting, and you look at the team that's playing OKC and you're like, damn, they have a chance of making a comeback. And then SGA gets put in the game.
Yeah.
And then the game ends. Right? Like, He's impossible because the team is so, so good that once you just add SGA to the formula, it becomes impossible because SGA is that good.
Like, yeah, and I think I bring, for me, I bring this hot take forward more so not to because I agree with it, but more because I want to reinstate how good Steph Curry is, bro. All these disciples that you see, Trae Young, LaMelo Ball, all these dudes don't exist without Steph Curry.
No.
Or don't even get a shot in the NBA without Steph Curry. So you could have any other guards, right? Any other guard that's going to come in this league in the future. And even SGA right now, who is doing an amazing... There's no words to even describe these statistics anymore, yeah. Right? But his peak, even if he hits another gear, will never equal Steph Curry's peak.
No, and
like,
unless...
Never, ever, ever.
And we're talking about, like... What did he average last season? Like 33-6-6 or something? Like
something like that.
And
like almost 450.
You know what's so funny? I didn't want to say 7 at the end of there because I didn't want like my brain to just flip that switch.
Yeah.
But
weird switch to flip.
Yeah. But all that to say that it probably won't match up, but I mean it's hard. It's like answering the question of like who has the most influence on the NBA. And the two answers are Michael Jordan and AI.
Kobe not in there?
Influence? Like,
bro, I was saying
this
Kobe,
is another
I mean,
hot take.
I mean, it depends, but like, man, I knew Kobe before I even watched an NBA game.
That's
because I was just saying Kobe when I was shooting stuff in the trash. You feel me?
Damn, actually, bro, that's a communications paper right there.
No, but for like,
how does just saying Kobe when shooting into the garbage as a pop culture reference actually just influence NBA culture?
I learned.
Look at me being an academic nerd.
Well, no. How about you get that paper done?
Hey, hey, chill, bro.
That's my bad. That's my bad.
This is supposed to be my safe space. God damn, bro.
Nah, but Kobe. But it's funny because I think LeBron is my GOAT. But if we talk an influence,
damn. Yeah, you know what? Like that's a good. Ooh,
I've had that talk with Monty like so many times.
That's a great point.
Like, for me, LeBron can still be the greatest player of all time. And still not have the same influence that MJ or even Curry had. I don't think LeBron got more influence than Curry.
No, and it's just because he's so good. Like, it's LeBron's so good, but it's because he's unique to being LeBron. Like, his athleticism.
Who can play like
LeBron? No one can.
I can't. Well, I could probably, but.
chill out, bro. 0-10 over here, bro. No, God damn.
Don't
Rec
let him
League
know.
Legend 0-10. Two games in a row, by the way. Two. His mama was in the stand, too.
Boy, that was last season. That's crazy. I went 2-for-8 last week. I'm going to keep shooting that thing. I ain't going to lie, bro. I'm going to keep shooting that thing.
And that's a mentality, bro. All mid-range shots.
And that's a cold take. That's not even a hot take, bro.
You need to go into the game wearing a Death of the Mid-Range shirt
and
just shoot mid-range
shots.
You know
what's funny, bro? I never shoot mid-range in men's league. We could do an episode about that, but...
over Libas's men's league stats.
No, but all in all...
One episode.
All in all, just to say that he has a... hell of like a big amount of influence, and I think even through the dynasties and the three-peat that the Curry era had,
yeah,
he was still beloved.
Yeah,
like still beloved, you know.
I think that's a really good point. Because Kobe almost has the thing where that one take with Skip Bayless, where they're asking, would a 50-year-old Michael Jordan beat current LeBron? And Skip's like. Well, and you're like, you can never count them out. And they're like, come on, Skip, bro.
Come on, man.
It's like,
come on.
You'd have people arguing and like right before Kobe's death, deep into retirement, that he would still drop like 40 points a game in the NBA.
Did you guys see that last game, bro? Bro, he almost died, bro. At the end, he was so tired at the end of that game. I remember watching those highlights. I didn't watch the game, but I remember watching the highlights. True Mamba fashion, took 50 shots, got 60.
Yeah.
Hey, all right, you got another one for me?
Yeah, I have two.
All right.
The first one's
quick.
Hit
me with it.
My godmother texted me.
Hey, shout out godmother.
Joanna Preston.
Shout out.
She sent me, do the Raptors have the all-time hairiest shoulders?
What?
In the NBA.
Hold up. Hey, time out. Hey, what you
do
mean?
They win the hairiest shoulders award?
What you mean, Joanne? What you mean?
Nah, she's playing. I thought that was really funny, though. As a as a lifelong Raptors fan, she's like, she sent me this. I was like, yo, that's so funny. She had the hairiest shoulders all the time. I think you look at Jakob Poeltl once, and then you're like, yeah.
Yeah, this team.
But
this
then
team
Jameson Battle, he out there with the hairy shoulders.
Get well soon, by the way, brother. Get well soon. Got a little ankle injury.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. You got a real hot take for me? Or
yes,
what's that?
I have from my godfather.
Okay.
He sends me this. Is Derek White better than Jaylen Brown for the Boston Celtics? And that's more to say, is Derek White more influential for the Celtics than Jaylen Brown is?
Heck no. He might be more bald, but hey, let me tell you something.
God damn.
I feel like if we notice one thing this year is that the increase in the load that Derek White has took has not done him any service. This is one of his most inefficient years by far because he has to self-create a lot more, and he hasn't really responded to that. He's still been good, but way less efficient than he's been. Because remember last year, people were putting him in conversations that were crazy.
Yeah.
And then this year, Jaylen Brown has responded to that number one role amazingly well. And he's been hooping, getting his. He is the most efficient mid-range shooters in the NBA, above KD this year.
Shout out.
Which is impressive. So, yeah, my respectful answer would be no. But I'll respect to your godfather.
But, like, does Derek White going out affect the Celtics more than Jaylen Brown going out? Like,
it depends when, because right now missing JB is hurting them more than having JB. Yes.
Yeah, you said that correctly. Yes.
Yeah, you know, but maybe in a system like they had last year, missing Derek White would hurt them more. You know what I'm saying? Because Derek White is he's the lead role player. He really sets the tone on defense, and on offense, he facilitates so much. Right, he asks for nothing, and then when he does get something, he makes an efficient shot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But this year, they need, I mean, except when they beat the Wizards by 45 without Jaylen Brown, had to mention that. they always need that alpha score to lead them.
You say that as a fan of the Washington Wizards.
Man, I told you this week I'm taking a mental break. and I'm addicted because I watched every game, but, you know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, from that, I don't think so.
I think it's fair. I just think when I read that, to me, well, like, that's a hot take.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
A hot take.
For sure.
And also, it's like, you just think about influence, and you're thinking, if Derek White goes out, how much does this team suffer versus when Jaylen Brown goes out?
For sure.
And it's fair.
Fair point.
Yeah, I also want to shout out Peyton Pritchard for scoring 43 the other day.
PP. Ooh, my bad.
I don't think I like that one.
Hey, I just and see, those are the risks of being live. I try to cook. Took a low voice. My low voice. All right, are we going to move on? I got a good one for you. And this is my personal hot take. And I worked on this one all throughout this week. And maybe I'm cooking. Maybe I'm not cooking. You let me know. Right? You let me know. There it goes. I think that the Dallas Mavericks will be contenders way earlier than people think.
Ooh, and this is from someone that...
I'm not even high on the Mavericks. You know that.
I know.
You know that. And so...
What, are you getting paid by the Mavericks right now? Hey, did they send you a little check right now?
Nico Harrison needs to get out of my pockets. Let me tell you that much.
He gone, bro.
No, but my thought process is... And maybe I'm just overreacting because I saw Ryan Nemhard play. And I saw the two-game, like the two-man game with him and Coop. And I was like, oh, maybe this is something... If we expect Cooper Flagg to have that kind of LeBron James leap from his rookie year, then what's going to stop them from contending?
LeBron James' leap is crazy, but I see what you're saying.
I mean, like, a rookie...
Dominating. Yeah, no, I
not, like, you know, and just producing.
So you know what you can say there? You can say Blake Griffin, one of the few All-Stars in his rookie season.
I like LeBron because it just shocks the ear more, you know what I'm saying? It just shocks the ear more. And I'm just like... No, but I feel like if Coop takes that leap...
It is a hot takes episode. We need to be more shocking.
I'm saying. And if he takes that leap, for me, they can be in the playoffs within 2 years. And yeah. I mean that with my whole heart.
And I agree. And whether AD there whether 80 there, whether 80 is there or not is the question, really.
Yeah.
And if you're getting an effective Anthony Davis or if you're getting, like,
I'd say they trade him.
Street clothes. Yeah, no. You have to
trade him for the value he has now. Maybe get people that could come along, Coop, or maybe get a, because they're probably not going to make the playoffs this year. If you draft in this deep old draft this year,
yeah,
man, you can get somebody along Cooper Flagg for the future.
Yeah, and also you have Kyrie coming back, and not to say that, like, it's going to be really hard to come back from an ACL injury, but he's Kyrie Irving. Like, I'm not gonna. Yeah,
y'all know who he is.
I'm Kevin Durant.
Come on now,
you know who I am.
Come on now.
But
how you like that take? How you like that take?
No, it's a good take, and I agree. I was high on the Mavericks this season. Yes. I had them at a 6 seed. Which is crazy because...
How the Pelicans doing, bro?
Don't remind me, bro.
We're going to have to delete that episode, bro.
Yeah.
Every day I check the standings, and we could not be further from the truth.
Nah, bro.
The Clippers, bro. We glazed the Clippers for like 10 minutes. But
I will never not say that on paper and going into the season, it made so much sense. I think there's more. I think it's a coaching. I think it's a culture.
You know what? I'm canceling the Clippers.
Like, I'm
the Kawhi Leonard thing and now the CP3 thing. Man, cancel, bro.
Nah, that's why I'm so frustrated because time and time again, I want to like the Clippers and they're making it impossible as a franchise.
Legitly impossible right now.
So let's deviate away from Clippers, incorrect nature of our standings, the Magic. What was you taking?
See, I got
so blinded by the Clippers.
I feel like the main thing we do on this show is just deviate constantly. No, my take was that, the Mavericks are going to contend. Right.
And I don't disagree with that take because you still have Gafford.
Yeah.
They need
Lively.
To send D'Lo to prison. He ain't do nothing wrong, but
immediately.
But
hey, get off the ball early, brother.
Bro, like.
See that video?
You need to get off the ball
early. See that video, bro. Man? I'm special, bro. I see you when you open before you even open, man. I'm high level, bro. Hey, no hate to D'Lo, but brother, you got to back it up on the court somehow, brother. Come on now. Come on now.
I just can't stop seeing that photo of him as a pylon, bro.
Bro.
Because, anyways, I'm not going to just
we're not.
Trash D'Lo for the Dallas Mavericks segment. But, you know, you trade some of these bad contracts and you trade, which is crazy to say trade AD, but at this point, you just do it. You bite the bullet.
Timeline. Listen, it's like that. It's timeline. Like I said, I think bite the bullet is a perfect example. Yep. Swallow your pride. Listen, you messed up, all right? We all saw it. You messed up big time.
Yep.
Whatever. It's fine. You got to move on now. You've been blessed with an opportunity with Cooper Flagg. Let's go, man. It's time to run it, right? You don't got time to just, you know, wallow over the... You have to maximize his prime.
Yeah. Like,
it's coming.
And he's looked incredible.
Especially, like, ever since, like, what, the past 10, 20 games? No, sorry. 10, 15 games?
Yeah.
Really good.
Well,
really good.
I think he's been given the opportunity to just say, all right, let's just play. Like, because what else are we going to do? Like, just go hoop. And he looks like the Cooper Flagg we expected to see.
For sure.
And I think he's only going to get better and better and better
and better. That's the scary part. This is the worst Cooper Flagg we're going to see in his career.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it's crazy. Scary, bro.
But yeah, no, I agree with that. I think that I see what you mean by the LeBron-esque because I think next year or maybe 2 years from now, he's just going to put the team on his back and he's just going to be unstoppable.
He has that aura. And even, like I told you last week, bro, he's top five in clutch points.
That's crazy.
In the clutch,
top
they give him the ball.
Five?
Yes, bro. And they give him the ball in the clutch.
Damn.
And they had to work, like, do some tweaks. At the beginning, it was kind of ugly. But he's had clutch shots. Maybe the Mavs haven't won and he didn't have any game winners, but he's been trusting in the clutch and he has that aura.
Top five, though.
And also, he can take over defensively. Like, you can see it, bro. Like, he just wants to block everything. He's going to run and trend. So, he's got that aura of a dude who wants to put a team on his back, and I feel like he can definitely do that.
The more confident we see Cooper Flagg be, the scarier it is.
I'm saying, bro.
Yeah.
I got another hot take for you, bro.
Let's hit the ad break first, and then do the hot take.
That's what's going to be my joke.
Wait. Run it back.
Let's go. Hey, Max, I got another hot take for you, bro.
Whoa, what could it be?
Cinema Public ad. How you feel about that hot take, bro?
Ooh, let's hit an ad break right now to hear this hot take.
Hey, you know what, guys? Don't go anywhere.
Public, we offer a theatrical program made up of local films and international new releases, classics and little-known nuggets, as well as short films and family screenings. Our tickets are among the cheapest in Montreal, $10 for a regular entry, or $8 for students, children, and seniors. We also offer 6-ticket movie cards for even more savings. Come see us at Casa d'Italia, just across from John Talon Metro, and visit cinemapublic.ca to discover our programming. Le Cinéma Public for a lively cinema.
Listen to Madonna Talk on CJLO 1690 AM, Saturdays 4 p.m. to 5 p.m., hosted by Kamala Madonna Talk Wright, an introduction to revolutionary reggae consciousness and the Caribbean indigenous community. Maroons, Caramanti, Kumina, Caribs, Taino, and Rastafarian culture, issues affecting the BIPOC community.
We back.
Hello.
You are still on CJLO,
Death of the Mid-Range. Oh, is that MJ?
A little bit. I mean, if I had more space, I would have done a leg kick, you know, but I'm restricted, as you can see.
Just kick the board, bro.
But yeah, my people, if you're just joining us right now, we are still doing caliente takes on Death of the Mid-Range.
Caliente?
Caliente. What that mean?
That ain't our ball?
Just to flex that, you know, had a really good grade on my Spanish class, so I'm really happy.
Right, why are you talking so smooth right now?
Señora Arentes es para ti. You know, usted, lo siento.
Damn, bro.
Man, we should do an episode in Spanish one of these days, bro.
Yeah, I'll be really good at that episode.
For real, he's just hiding it right now, bro, but he can do it.
But
last hot take of the day. You talked about Jeff Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy.
Jeff Van Gundy is coaching the Clippers.
Stan, you're right.
Or
Stan's a bit more like chubby, and then
he has a beard and hair, and
Jeff wishes. No, but Stan Van Gundy, I think in that same interview, had a take where he said the top 20 NBA players in the NBA, maybe apart from the top 3, could all be players from the last 20 years.
Ooh.
Like basically like all the top players. No, I think it was like all the top players, top 20 players in the NBA have played in the last 20 years.
Yeah, I also heard this take and I don't disagree. And I think it's to when you're looking at top rankings and who's the best of all time. And Jimmy High Rollers, I think, said it best. It's like, we love to do our rankings. Is it pointless and menial?
Hell yeah.
Yes. But we love to do it because it's a fun pastime because you get to debate. Like, you can rage bait about Kobe Bryant being the best basketball player to ever touch the surface of the earth only because you find his aura to be, like, monumental.
What about John Wall?
What about John? And you can make that point.
No, for sure, for sure.
For the one season and a half where the NBA was telling me that John Wall... Well, the NBA wasn't telling me. I was looking at it, and I was like, John Wall might be the best point guard in the NBA right now.
And he was.
And he was. Still is in my heart. But
I'm sorry.
Don't get me.
I'm going to just take a second. Go ahead, Max.
Brother is crying. No, but when we're looking at these lists, the thing that you can't discredit is respect to legends of the game.
No, for sure.
And it's... Listen, like, would Larry Bird get, like, cooked right now if you placed him in the modern NBA?
He's a bit old.
Well.
to be fair.
Funny guy. Huh? You sit in the main's chair and all of a sudden you get all my jokes, huh? But I taught you well. But what I'm saying is that you were talking about it earlier. It's a generational thing. Like, in between generations. You can't just say that, oh, Larry Bird would be trash in this generation. Because that's... To his discredit, if Larry Bird was brought up in the NBA now, he would be amazing too because he would have, okay, I can step farther back. Okay, I have to plan my game more to be less in the post and more on the perimeter and get more efficient shots. Like, he'd probably be like KD in the modern NBA.
But I really like Kenny Beecham's take about how it's we should just rank by era.
Yeah,
and have within era ranking because it's a different game, bro. It's a different game, and I think well, one of all, the people that use the argument where it's like, well, if this player played in in today's league, he wouldn't even get minutes. Yeah, Charles Barkley, for example, could never play in today's NBA.
No.
And that makes sense because he grew up learning how to play in the current landscape of the NBA back in the day.
Yeah, he changed the rule so that you couldn't back someone down for more than 5 seconds.
And it's hard, maybe talent-wise, especially with all the new technology that we have, all the new people like getting personal coaches and whatever, and AAU circuits, and maybe skill-wise, yes, the last 20 years has probably produced the best NBA players of all time.
Yeah.
But I definitely agree with what you say about respect, bro. There's a lot of respect of the people that also, like, you know, created the game and created pathways for the game to be what it is right now.
You know?
Because the only reason the game has changed like that is because it was originally something pretty great already.
And I also think, too, when you're looking at older NBA games, especially games from the 90s or the early 2000s, when it's a lot slower, these slower possessions, it's much more of a mind game.
No, for sure.
Much more of a mind game. You're, as a fan and someone who's watching those games at that time, you're watching the chess piece move. Mm-hmm. You're watching a chess game happen. And what makes it great and what made the NBA great in that time is you had these moments that you could look back on. Remember when Kobe threw Shaq the lob, right? Or remember when Michael Jordan shot his last shot in NBA history in Utah? And it's because the game was slower. And it was because it was, this is how I'm going to pick you apart, and this is exactly how I'm going to do it, and it's going to happen right now.
Yeah.
Right? We get these moments in NBA, obviously, now. Like, we still get game winners. We still get all these moments. But the game's so much quicker, and it's a lot more complicated, which is harder to grasp for the average fan or someone that doesn't understand that, okay, they just ran like 5 plays to get the shot open.
Yeah.
Right? And it's harder to respect that when it was way more obvious in a previous era.
Mm-hmm.
Because you would say, oh, that guy just, like, Michael Jordan made the decision. Kobe made the decision. Right? And then it's like, obviously, players are still making decisions. I'm not saying that they're not. I'm just saying that the coaching has evolved so much, how we make plays, how we shoot on the floor.
There's so much more film.
And it's quicker.
But look at coaching staffs. Coaching staffs are way deeper than they were back in the day. So I think a lot has changed, but I think the main takeaway from this point is just keeping the respect for the OGs, for sure. I mean, we might not, you know, have watched Kareem, Wilt, Magic Johnson, all that, but I don't mean they're not great. They deserve their flowers, man.
And I was just thinking this in the I keep saying in the shower, like, it's like the shower thoughts. I'm thinking about Wemby in the shower. If Wemby learned the skyhook, would he be unstoppable?
I think so.
Like, genuinely.
No, like, who gonna block that?
Who? What are you doing if Wemby all of a sudden is like, nah, I'm gonna just shoot skyhooks, bro?
Yeah.
How do you stop that?
But then he would have to bang in the paint, so that would be the problem.
Yeah, that's true.
Because then he don't want to get hurt.
Yeah.
And be careful with your body, man. Be careful.
Hey, we might have not had the most insane hot takes, but we try to keep it, you know, polished here. I don't want to be, if you could see us, like, it's a different thing, because then you can see us get animated. We're not just going to, like, hurt your ears first thing in the morning, be like, are you kidding me? Like, just start screaming into the microphone, like, yelling at each other.
You seen that Max Kellerman interview? He's like, I'm Muhammad Kellerman.
No.
You didn't see that?
No, bro.
He was comparing himself to Muhammad Ali as a debater. And he was like, why did Stephen A. Smith let me go? Man, if I was him, I would have won a debate against Muhammad Kellerman every morning. It's like, good God, man. I want Iguodala.
Where's the pride, man? Where did pride go?
Well,
with these last 7 minutes, I think we would be doing a disservice if we did not talk very quickly about the situation regarding Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Okay. Okay, pronunciation. I see you.
And his situation. And this goes again. Like, why do Raptors, like, have the best odds or are always in the top three odds
for
landing anybody?
Like, there's no anybody. Well, I don't know.
Why do you want three more power forwards? Well, like, it's the most Toronto Raptors thing. All power forwards. Run a lineup of only power forwards.
Nigerian descent, lengthy, can't really shoot.
And Mazai wanted him.
Yeah.
He wanted him in the draft.
He's got a good relationship with Mazai.
Well, Mazai's not there
for sure,
so that makes it tough. But Bobby Webster, shout out.
I don't know if this is just smoke or if there's fire. I'm not sure. Because
we say this every year.
And also it came out, right? Chris Haynes reported that Giannis Antetokounmpo has asked out And then freaking Kevin Porter Jr. said that he doesn't believe it, and that if something is going to happen, then Giannis will come forward and address the team. Doc Rivers was very animated and said that, you know, it's nothing to be worried about, and that Giannis loves Milwaukee and that he's going to stay.
Yeah, but Doc do just say that a lot.
For sure. But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like there was a certain, they seemed so certain of what they were saying that maybe Giannis won't leave this year. And I think it's unlikely that he does leave this year, because you have to gut your roster to get Giannis to the Kupo.
I agree. And I was having this debate with my family group chat, which is a funny thing to say. But I was talking about it, like, okay, so who has the best assets to trade for Giannis right now?
Hawks.
The Hawks, it does make sense. The thing is that, so does, where do you put Jalen Johnson?
For me, he would have to be included in the deal.
Yeah, but then are you keeping Trey?
For me, you try it again with Trey. Because if I'm Milwaukee,
I mean Trey and Giannis is disgusting. But then, do you really want Trey Young as your off-ball threat?
I know, but it's like, if I'm Milwaukee, I have to stand my ground.
Yeah, you're not biting on a package surrounding Trey Young. Your package
it's tough.
Jalen Johnson. It makes sense.
It's tough because obviously you want to do right by Giannis, and ultimately they will do right by Giannis, even if you offer peanuts. But you have Superman at the peak of his powers. You know, you deserve to get a great package.
Yeah.
Pause. And you deserve an insane amount of first round picks, and you deserve young players to build. You need to get a return package. And I think it's going to go both ways, because I believe that Milwaukee will do right by Giannis and trade him to a team that he wants to go to. And I also believe that Giannis wants to leave a good package behind, you know,
For Milwaukee.
Yeah, because he really cares about Milwaukee, but apparently the short list is very short.
No, and
he wants to go to New York, apparently.
Well, that's what the discussion in my family group chat revolved around. Knicks don't have anything they can offer. Like, because
Cat.
The thing is, they signed Miles Turner this massive contract.
God, Miles Turner's struggling, man.
Why do you want? So then you're going to bring in Cat, and then obviously, okay, they're not going to trade Brunson, so you're going to trade OG, Josh Hart, Mitchell Robinson, or you're trading Bridge. But Bridges has shown he's been an okay number one option.
He's
but
all defensive this year, too. Like, he's
he's locked in, and he'll play 82 games every season.
Iron Man.
Then I was thinking, realistically, the best package that could be given, comes through Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But when we're talking about the Giannis trade, it comes through the Oklahoma City Thunder. And
hey, that's a ball in the word bar right there, bro. You got to know your game.
I know my balls. Yeah. But what I was saying is that they're not going to dip into the second apron like that. But, I mean, they have everything they could want to trade.
Wait, no, yeah. And that's what I saw on Twitter, where they were like, I'm at a point, like a Thunder fan was like, I'm at a point in my life where if Giannis was made available to us, I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, God, is it good to have that luxury?
Yeah, because you can't add another contract after you have Shai, Shai and SGA, the same person.
Also, there's Shai, no point.
Shai, J-Dub, Chet, and then you don't want this massive contract, and then there's you don't no want to trade Chet, so like...
But riddle me this, bro. How you feel about this? Giannis Antetokounmpo in a red and white jersey.
Yeah, the Raptors.
That says Wash the Wizards on the front.
That's where you lost me.
That lost you?
The thing is, he could go to the Wizards. So
he wants to stay in the East. He said that. And he doesn't like powerhouses. Man, we got both conditions. We are not a powerhouse. And we are in the East. And we're also very dark. We love Greek people.
Shout out.
Nigerians even more. So,
but the thing is that Washington doesn't have the assets. And then you don't want to get the team for well, you do, but it's hard, right?
Ball's in your court, Giannis.
Ball's in your court. I was thinking Portland, too, would be funny. But because it's reuniting with Dame.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Who knows, man?
Giannis, tell us where you want to go.
Tell us, bro.
And we'll
have him next week on the show, guys.
Yeah. Giannis Antetokounmpo is our next guest. Guys, it's been really fun.
Has been.
Next week will be my last episode before I'm gone for a while.
I'm already crying, bro. I'm already crying, man.
But I love y'all for listening. I hope you enjoyed our... We had, like, warm takes. I don't think these were crazy hot.
We'll say lukewarm takes.
Yeah, lukewarm takes.
Lukewarm takes. No, but it's been real. It's been a real fun time. Man, it's been death of the mid-range.
Death of the mid-range on CJLO 1698.
Come on now. And we'll see you next week. Please have a blessed week.
Have a blessed week.
Hey, watch out in that snow.
Ooh, watch out in the snow.
Peace.
Don't take the 51.
Peace, peace.
Hi, this is Chaz from Toro et Moi, and I'd rather be listening to CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.